Leading up to Election Day, KUCB will be featuring interviews with Alaska Senate candidates about fisheries policy. Last week, we spoke with Sitka Mayor and Democratic candidate Scott McAdams. And this week, we spoke with writing candidate Senator Lisa Murkowski. Welcome, Senator Murkowski. So just starting off, United Fishermen of Alaska and the Marine Conservation Alliance have reaffirmed their support for you and have once again endorsed you in the general election. Can you describe how you've worked with fishing organizations during your time in office?
Well, we've been doing a lot of things together for the past 8 years on fisheries issues. And there's some things that stand out in my mind. It was my initiative that helped bring about the allowance income averaging for our fishermen that really helped them in dealing with how they handle the tax treatment. I was successful in allowing more of the Exxon Valdez plaintiffs to keep more of their settlements with the Exxon Valdez tax treatment issue. I have worked on issues like country of origin labeling to help improve prices for our wild Alaskan seafood. That's been significant for us. Work to do, get things into different programs, whether it's the USDA programs to get the canned salmon into the WIC and into the international food aid programs. I think this is helpful as we develop our market. I have been very involved. As you know, I'm on the Appropriations Committee and have been working very, very hard to get the funding for our small boat harbors. We recognize that our communities can be limited when we don't have that infrastructure in place. And when you go down the list of those communities that have been helped by the funding that we have worked to gain for their boat harbors, it's really quite considerable.
This year especially, the status of the western stock of Stellar Sea Lions has been a big issue for fishermen in the Aleutians, as protecting the species is expected to result in the closure of some fisheries. When the Endangered Species Act and the interests of commercial fishermen butt against each other, how do you weigh these competing interests, and what is your stance on this issue specifically?
Well, I will tell you, I've been very disappointed in the way that this has developed. I think we recognize that NIMS has an obligation to protect the western population of our Stellar Sea Lions under the Endangered Species Act, but they need to find the balance with impacts of their actions on our fisheries and on our communities. And again, we talk about balance, but it's so key, it's so critical. The proposal from NIMS, with a number of fishing restrictions in the biop to mitigate impacts of commercial fishing on the Stellar Sea Lions, you know, the analysis shows an annual impact of tens of millions of dollars that we can anticipate in lost revenues, the loss of jobs. Again, I don't think there are any amongst us who don't want to ensure that that we are working to protect our species, the very species and the populations that are out there. But again, knowing that we are doing so with a balance, recognizing that that we have to look to the real science that is out there.
And what are your thoughts on genetically modified salmon?
Well, I have taken a stand against it, have spoken out against this issue, signed on to a Senate letter opposing any approval by the FDA of this genetically engineered salmon. I think you can continue to expect that I will oppose it strongly. I feel I'm very concerned. I'll tell you, we're feeling this sense that the government is regulating in far too many areas of our life, and yet in an area like this where we're talking about the safety of a food product, it's like the FDA is just kind of stepping back and saying, you know, go ahead.
Both resource development and protection of our state fisheries are important issues to Alaskans. But occasionally these objectives are at odds, with Pebble Mine being the most controversial example of this. What is your stance on that project?
Well, I have not taken a pro or con position on Pebble. As I've stated, we don't know what the definition of that mine is yet. There's still a great deal of review and study and continued exploration out there to determine what the extent of the mine will be, how large, underground, open pit. There's still so much more to know and understand. And having said that, I have also said that it is imperative that we only advance with a project like Pebble, knowing that we can do so wisely and safely. I am not one who is willing to trade fish for gold. There has to be a level of assurance as to the safety and safety not only on the land, but safety to our watersheds and to our incredibly rich fisheries resource there in Bristol Bay.
Oil spill response is another point of friction between these two industries. Your Democratic opponent, Scott McAdams, has said that he was in part motivated to run because shortly after the Deepwater Horizon blowout, you objected to a voice vote on a bill that would have raised the oil spill liability cap from $75 million to $10 billion. Can you explain to fishermen why you felt this block was necessary?
I absolutely can, and I think Scott misunderstood or was not aware of what was happening with that particular effort to increase the liability cap. I, too, agree that we must increase that liability cap and have said so and have actually proposed legislation that would do it. But to just kind of randomly pick a number out of the air, to me, makes no sense. What I have proposed is that there be a liability cap that is based on a series of risk factors. When you are drilling in 5,000 feet of water, that's a heck of a big difference than if you're drilling in 150 feet of water. There are different considerations to look at, including the safety and track record of those that are operating. So what I wanted to see and what I have worked to advance and have put in legislation that has received very favorable consideration is lifting, raising that liability cap to ensure that no communities, no taxpayers would be on the hook for the negligence, for the oversight, for the failures that come about, as we saw in the Gulf of Mexico with the Deepwater Horizon.
And lastly, what do you think that you can offer on fisheries policy that your opponents Joe Miller and Scott McAdams cannot?
Well, what I can offer is not only an understanding of the issues within the industry, but a track record of consistent support and success in working with the industry to accomplish what it is that we need, whether it is pushing back against the EPA on initiatives like the incidental discharge issue, or whether it is working to advance legislation as it relates to, say, for instance, the ocean acidification research. I have been actually doing and performing in the United States Senate for the fishing industry for the full 8 years that I have been in office there. I think it's fair to say that Joe Miller has no familiarity with the fisheries and hasn't really indicated, so far as I can tell, any interest or desire to really step up and learn more about them. Scott McAdams, well, he comes from the southeastern part of the country and was a commercial fisherman for a short period in his life. He's got some personal experience there, and I will grant that to him. But sitting on the Appropriations Committee and being on the Commerce, Justice, Science Subcommittee of that Appropriations Committee, so that I can help to facilitate some of these research initiatives, whether, again, it's for the Bering Sea Crab Management Program or for the Pacific Salmon Treaty or for the Stellar Sea Lion Research, making sure that there is funding that comes to help sustain this industry because we now have the research working on the subcommittee that has the oversight of the Coast Guard. These are all critically important, and I am in that position to make that happen now. Neither Joe nor Scott would be in those seats to make that happen.
Thank you so much, Senator Murkowski, for your time.
All right, Alexandra, thank you.